Be seated. I love the adult Bible study in the morning because I love learning from God's Word. It's not an accident they call it God's Word for Life, because the idea, like Bishop said years ago, God's Word, the Bible, is the manual for life. It teaches us how to live. I've been talking to people recently, and I said, if there's a God, an architect of the universe, this all-powerful creator that designed the world with the trees and the grass and the mud and the animals, right? And he designed us with a way of wanting to do things, a flesh and a spirit and a body and all this, right? He has this perfect way of doing it. He said, I've designed this world, but you have to kind of work within this. If you do it this way, everything will go smooth for you. In the world that I've designed. If there was a different world, maybe there's a different way that things go smoothly, right? But in this world, there's a way things work out. And we find that way by reading God's Word. And when I look at it that way, that like if God's this designer that designed this contraption, this program, this thing, and he said the best way to run this thing is through the steps I've given you, well, it seems to make sense to run it through those steps. And the best part is if you're, this is not, I'm way off on this. The best part is you get to test it out. You could try doing your own steps and see if, you know, that runs that thing the best in your life. Or you could try doing his steps and see how that works. I would encourage trying his steps, which we find in God's Word. The series this month of January is called Victory Through Faith. Victory through faith. And Pastor Jerry spoke last week. He talked about the 12 spies. And the truth about God is that God desires to reveal his promises to us, just like he tried to do with the 12 spies, right? And the truth for our life is that I will seize God's promises in faith. Jerry did an awesome job. I appreciate him sharing the way he did. It's super powerful when we hear, you know, we read the Bible and we hear these fairly personal stories about people. Right? And we hear like, wow, that was a big mess up, or that was a big success, right? Like, if the Bible was this thing that just kept being written, our stories would be in there too. Our goods, our bads, and people hopefully would learn from them. And that's why you'll see me sometimes maybe a little bit overshare, but I want to somehow help people learn. Even if it's through my failures, maybe through successes, doesn't matter. So Victory Through Faith is our series this month. I'm going to change something here. Victory through faith. So our lesson today is in Joshua 3, verses 1. Well, it's the whole chapter. We're going to be going in and out of the verses, right? Before I start, though, I want to read a story. Kind of ties into what we just said. This is a story from the Bible study. It was the most festive of occasions, a wedding day. The invitations had been sent long ago, the guest list completed, and the big day had finally arrived. The crowd was buzzing as the bridal party put the final touches on their wedding garments. The bride was radiant yet anxious, her heart palpitating with anticipation. Not to be outdone, the groom's heart was leaping in his chest as the bride walked through the doors. Emotion swelled. They exchanged vows, sealed their union with a kiss, and the reception began. Merriment abounded. As the band played, the servers served the meal. Everyone was elated, except for the parents of the bride and groom. They were feeling humiliated. They had overlooked one important detail. Soon, some of their guests overheard their oversight. One of these guests quickly realized she had a solution for their embarrassing situation. One of her children had the ability to remedy the situation and get the festivities back on track. She motioned to her son and pulled him to the side. She whispered something in his ear. He was reluctant to act, but she was his mom. Without hesitation, his mother called to the waitstaff and made a direct, emphatic statement. Whatever he says to do, do it. In one short statement, Mary, the mother of Jesus, summed up the key to supernatural provision. And this is, once again, I'm just reading from their notes. So if you're here on Wednesday night, to borrow from Nike, when Jesus speaks, just do it. Jesus gave the instruction to the waitstaff. These orders would have been silly to most, but they were strangely specific. Jesus told them to haul water from the water pots to the master of the feast so he could taste it. These may have been hand-washing water pots for all we know. Somewhat surprised, the servants obeyed exactly what he directed. Miraculously, by the time anyone tasted the water, Jesus had turned it into wine. He met the guests' need, saved the bridal party from embarrassment, and gave us a glimpse that this Jesus of Nazareth was not just a man. The guests were thoroughly impressed, and the celebration was a huge success. The master of the reception even commended the groom for serving the best to his guests. This was the beginning of Jesus' miracles. And it all started with a wise directive by the one on earth who knew Jesus his best, his mother. She knew him well enough to know his ability. This led her to declare, whatever he says to do, do it. It was great advice then, and it's still great advice for us today. So with that in mind, this idea, whatever God says to do, do it. Let's go back. And let's go back to where Pastor Jerry's story left off. So the Israelites were in Egypt for 400 years as slaves. There's all the plagues, and finally Pharaoh lets them go. They cross the Red Sea. Moses, God parts the Red Sea. They have the cloud and the fire. They cross the Red Sea, and then the story Jerry told last week is the spies that God says go into the land and take a look at it. They send 12 spies, and 10 of them come back like, it's horrible. It's bad. We just can't do that. And the other two are like, this is not a problem. We can get this. And so God says, fine, then we need to get rid of the generation that doesn't believe. And so he said, we are going to wander for 40 years. So now it's been 40 years since the spies report. They didn't believe the reporter promised 40 years ago, and now is another chance. Another chance for another generation, hopefully learning from those who before had little faith. But let's be kind to them, right? Let's be kind to these people. It's easy to say, oh, you have little faith, right? It's easy. It's easy for me, at least. They did just have 400 years of slavery, right? So they did need to grow in this whole trusting God thing. Yeah, they saw some miracles, but God's actually like, okay, now this is the promise. I'm going to have you go do it. They're like, well, God, you did the plagues, and you separated the water, and you changed Pharaoh, and like, we didn't really do anything. God's like, yeah, but I need you to be a part of this. And they're like, phew. So they were learning here. Let's give them a little bit of a grace. So they get 40 years of grace, we'll call it. It's kind of like watching, as we watch from aside, from the future, it's like having kids, right, raising kids. We can watch them not learn a lesson. And we could see them experience the consequences, maybe not from us, but just life consequences, so that they do learn from it. And they do learn the lesson. And that's what God's seeing here. And so what we read here is before they go into this promised land, we hear about, in Genesis 3, we hear about how they did something different this time. They prepared themselves. So we're going to read about how they prepared themselves. What I like about the Bible is, just like I've talked about before, it's a story. It's like people, they walked, they camped, they stood, they fought. Like it's kind of a story. It's all it is, right? We read stories all the time. But just like every story, there's usually some lessons for us in the story if we're looking for them. God isn't just saying, this is how you walk across the desert. You put your left foot in front of the other. He's saying, I have a lesson for you about walking through the desert. And so we're going to try to glean some of those lessons from them. So imagine yourself as a person who has a promise from God that God says, I want you to do or be or go or take a next step. Maybe I'm not telling you to go to, you know, Zimbabwe or, you know, Indonesia. There's a next step for you, right? I have a promise for you, this next step of the journey. So that's where you're at right now, right? And so let's put ourselves in the same boat as them. So the first thing they did, we read in Joshua 3:5, it says, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves because the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. Verse 6, then he said to the priests, carry the Ark of the Covenant and go on ahead of the people. So they carried the Ark of the Covenant and went out ahead of them. These people had lost opportunities. They had squandered them by not listening to the good advice of God. Or we'll say the word of God, even though it wasn't the Bible, it's God's word speaking to them. But then Joshua has a renewed call from God. We see this in the first couple of verses of Joshua 3. And they were once again being called into the promised land. They were once again, this is your, okay, now guys, are you ready? You didn't do it last time. Waited 40 years. We're going to try it again. Okay, I'm calling you to the promised land. Are you ready to go? But this time they said, Joshua's like, time out. We're doing something different. We're going to consecrate ourselves. So they consecrated themselves. Consecrate. Go look this one up, okay? It means, there's always definitions, but it was funny. It was a little circular. It says to consecrate means to sanctify. And then when you look up sanctify, it means to consecrate, right? But essentially what they both mean is to set apart as holy. So we're going to focus on this idea of setting apart as holy. He's essentially saying, we're going to set aside the distractions and the things of this world. We're going to set apart the sins. We're going to separate from them. And we're going to put God at the front of our minds and our intentions. Now, let me take a quick break here, and we're going to do this a couple times, that Pastor Roy's going to be speaking this morning in his series. I can't remember, your episode 3 or lesson 3 or something, right? And we're talking about pressing on, but we're going to be introducing the all-church fast coming up this Monday, which is tomorrow, okay? So get your food in today. But this is what it's talking about, this idea of I'm going to set myself aside. When God leads us to another level that we have not experienced, it requires consecration. It requires sanctification, a separation from other things. God says, I want to take you to the next step, Peter, but there's some things you're going to have to leave on the step you were just at. And it might take some time for me to figure that out and leave those things. And I take the next step and God's like, okay, great, you're there. But there's going to be some more things you now have to leave. I like to liken that to the verse in, I think it's Proverbs, where he says, Paul. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. It's like, not just man, but when I became an adult, little by little, there was things I give up. Forget spiritual. Let's leave spiritual aside. When I was young and single, I was playing video games and board games and watching football with all my buddies, right? And then I found somebody that I want to spend more time with. Some of that just went down a little bit. I still played video games and hung out and played board games, you know, all that stuff. But then when we got married, there's some of that I just like, I need to set apart from some of this. It's not bad, but there's something better, a lot better, right? And so then I'm married and things are going well. And it's like, now let's have a child. Well, let's buy a home. And with every little step of responsibility and maturity, there's some things that, like, I don't get to do the things that I used to do at the time levels I used to do them. It's maturity. That's growing. It's learning what things are important. It's setting aside the things that really aren't important for the things that are important. I'm not going to call that consecrating, but that's essentially what we're doing to God. We're saying, as I grow and take steps, I'm going to set things aside. We talk about holiness and separation, but it needs to be discussed involving two words. Sister Jessica and I talk about this. Two words. We focus on this idea of separating from the world. That's important. We need to do that. But there's also a separation to God. It's one thing just to say, Pastor Roy, I'm going to stop eating for the week. It's another thing that says, I'm going to take that time and I'm going to spend more time thinking and focusing and reading and praying to God. It's one thing, because we can do it the other way too. Like, I'm going to spend all this time reading and praying and thinking and focusing on God, but at the same time, we're doing all those things of the world. So I've separated sort of to God, but those things are still there and they're a distraction. And so separation, consecration, sanctification, we do this by separating from the world and separating to God. This is a principle in God's word. We see this time and time again. When we separate ourselves from other things and to God, two things happen. Number one, we get God's attention. We get God's attention. And two, we now have a spiritual mindset of faith to take territory and possess promises we have never seized before. It is in the moments where we consecrate ourselves, when we say we're going to leave aside our flesh, we're going to leave aside the sins, we're going to leave aside the distractions of this world, and I'm going to start focusing on the things of God, that God's like, now we're ready for another step. Now we're ready to take a new territory. And so maybe it works backwards too. If you're not taking other steps and not taking new territories, maybe God is teaching us in this moment that, hey, you'll just sit on the other side of the Jordan River and go nowhere in your life if you're not willing to take the steps. Man, I thought this was a story about people walking across the river. I guess there is some things to learn. We see in this story that they put the ark first. They put God in front. They put him first. They put him in the center. He said, priests, get the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God, which is where God dwelled and sat. We're going to put that first. And so in Joshua 3, 9 through 11, we see that God was with Joshua because Joshua demonstrated faith. He chose to believe God's word and act on it. So the first step, they consecrated themselves. Now we're seeing what Joshua did. Joshua 3, 9, it says, Then he said to the Israelites in verse 9, come closer and listen to the words of the Lord your God. He said, come on, everybody get around. All the Israelites, come here, come listen. Come listen to what God has to say. He said, you will know that the living God is among you and that he will certainly dispossess you before the Canaanites, Hethites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. When the ark of the covenant of the Lord of the whole earth goes ahead of you into the Jordan. You will know that the living God is among you and he will take care of everything that's about to happen when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the earth goes in front of you. Joshua declared what he was told by God, not what he saw in his situation. He didn't declare the river and the enemies, he declared the victory. There's a fly that just landed on my iPad. Oh, I got him. There we go. That was weird. They're slow in the winter, aren't they? Joshua declared what he was told, not what he saw. And that's what we need to do in our lives. We need to declare what the word of God says about our situation, our family, and our lives, not what we're thinking and not what we see. We don't need to declare that the river is wide and the river is deep and the river is flowing hard. We don't need to declare that there's Hizzites and Jebusites and Canaanites and all the whatever the ites are. I don't even know what the names are, right? Parasites, they're all over there, right? And flies, they're everywhere. We're not declaring that. We declare what God's word says about our situation. And then we act based on what it says about our situation, not based on what we see of our situation. We're learning a lesson here from Joshua. He's setting an example. He's saying, this is what I heard from God, and this is what I'm going to do. But there's a river. Nope, I heard it. I'm going to do it. Yeah, but there's Jebusites and Amorites. Nope, I heard it, and I'm going to do it. We consecrated ourselves, and then we act based on what God's word says to do. You know what they call that? You know what I call that? Faith. It's obedience, too. Those two things go together a lot. But faith, because it doesn't make sense. But I'm just saying, God, I don't believe, I don't know how it's going to work, but you said it, I'm going to do it. It's acting on what God says to do. Story after story in the Bible shows how God was with, insert person's name here, and kept his promises. We see it with people we know, people in this life, people in the life before us who have shared their stories. These should encourage us to step out in faith as well. God has given us so many witnesses that say, look, I stepped out, Joshua stepped out, Moses stepped out, Elijah, Elisha, Esther, Naaman, just the list goes on. And it's like, well, it couldn't be for me. We hear from Bishop Pastor Jerry mentioned it last week, Brother Alan Oggs, Jerry has his testimonies. I have my testimony. So many of you have testimonies where God has done something, and that's why we share it, so people can, their faith can be built to say, it doesn't make sense, but I see all these other people that stepped without looking, and it worked. But in almost all cases, it started with sanctification. You'll never see somebody, I was talking to Sister Martha, you'll never see somebody that's up here and they're anointed and they're preaching God's word. Somebody that's, that you're like, man, I used to think about that. You see Brother Jason Sisko. You see Sister Vicky, who's one of our, she's out preaching, but Sister Vicky, you're like, man, they are anointed. They are used of God. Like, those people, it's not because they're really good at speaking. It's because they have spent hours and hours and hours in God's word, hours and hours and hours in prayer and repentance and sanctifying and setting themselves apart. And God's like, I will grow that and I will use that. We get mistaken sometimes saying, I just want to be like Pastor Roy. He gets up here and he preaches an awesome message. He teaches us great. You don't know the pain that goes behind that message. And it becomes a point when we're willing to consecrate ourselves and say, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to repent. I'm going to set myself aside. I'm going to turn a different way. And we start doing that little by little. That's why the Bible says what we do in secret, God rewards openly. But we want the reward. I'm going to do it openly. I'm going to get the credit up. God's like, nope, no. If we will put our heads down and do the work and you spend time in prayer every day, and you spend time trying to be closer to God, God will grow you. And one day we'll all be sitting there going, who's that person preaching? Man, God's using them. I guarantee you they spent some time on their knees. Sorry, I got off my notes. But for us, it starts with sanctification, being set apart. God is looking for a faith-filled generation to ready themselves, to set themselves apart to him and from the world and act on what his word says. He's looking for us to separate to him from the world and act on what his word says. And the last step we see is that to live victoriously, we have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Let's go back to Joshua. It's right up there, Joshua 3:11. When the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth goes ahead of you into Jordan. We see that the Ark goes first and the people followed it. Now, unless Pastor Roy did something over the weekend that I didn't know about, we don't have an Ark in this church. We don't have a place where God, like this altar or something where God resides. So this is a metaphor for us. The Bible says, Jesus said, I'm sending my comfort to live inside of you, my Holy Spirit. And then Peter talked about how the Holy Spirit will live inside of us. We'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's God inside of us helping us. So if the Holy Spirit was in the ark and they followed the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is inside of us, we follow that Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit. Now, it's in our defense, right, all of us here in 2023, it was probably a little easier when there's just this box and these people dressed fancy around the box. You could see it and follow it. Like, it makes more sense. And we're like, well, I don't see this box. Like, it's inside of me. How do I, right? It's God's word. We'll get to the point at the end. But we follow the Holy Spirit. We see that they saw the ark go first and they followed it. This is a metaphor for us. If we want to live victoriously, after we consecrate ourselves and act out, we must act on what God says. Then we have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. In verse 14, it says, to find our promised land, we have to follow the leading. If you're on that other side of the Jordan, remember I said when we started, this is us. This is all of us. You might not be wearing the skirts from the Bible. You might not have sandals on. You might not see a physical Jordan River and a promised land with Jebusites. But whatever step is that God is trying to tell you that, hey, I want you to take this next step. This is part of it. Following the leading of the Holy Spirit. To find our promised land. To find our life more abundantly. To find whatever that next step is in your life. Don't walk away thinking, well, I'm not going to be a missionary. No, I'm not even talking about that. I'm not saying God's calling everybody to go to Zimbabwe. I'm saying God's calling you to take the next step in him, to grow from faith to faith to faith to faith. And we do that through these steps. It's easy to look at this story as a small story and not remember that the whole Bible is about the Israelite nation up until like a third of the way or whatever through the New Testament. Even then, it's still about them. This is just one step in their journey. We're looking at one step, and that's why it's so cool that we can look at it in our lives and say, it's just one step. It's the next step, the next place God has me going. And it's different for Brother Larry, and it's different for Brother Hawk and Sister Neesum. It's different for each one of us. That's why I don't look around at everybody else and be like, well, what step is Brother Brunker taking? How is he taking that step? I want to be on that step. No, I do not want to be on that step. I don't know what took him to get to that step. God has a path for Brother Brunker. God has a path for Pastor Roy. God has a path for me. And as long as I'm focused on my next step in faith and consecrating myself and separating myself to God and from the world and acting on what his word says and following the leading of the Holy Spirit, as long as I focus on that, I will reach my promised land, the place where God has me flourishing in my life, in my ministry, in my family. Joshua 3:14 says, when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests carried the Ark of the Covenant ahead of the people. God wants you to quit wandering and follow his spirit. God wants you to quit living in tents on the other side and go find that milk and honey in your life. He wants you to quit sitting there and saying, hey, listen, you know, this, we're not in slavery anymore. We've been saved, but we're also not living abundantly. I'm just kind of chilling in this middle spot. God wants us to take the next step. Stop hanging out in the tent. Stop hanging out in the place you're at. Consecrate ourselves. Act in faith. Follow faith, following the leading of his Holy Spirit. This generation in this story was willing to do what the previous generations were not willing to do. They were willing to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And so we read then, as we continue the story, that the ministry steps into the Jordan and God's people followed. God will empower us for his will. We could do a lot on our own strength. A good speaker can speak really well on their own strength. Even without anointing, they could say fancy words and look good, right? But the promises of God are only obtained by the power of the Holy Spirit. The promises of this world are obtained through hard work and success and money and all this, chasing those things. None of them normally horribly bad, but the promises of God are only obtained by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. And so you might say, you know what, this whole God, I'm just going to power my way through this Jordan River. You might get to the other side. I don't know. I'm going to power my way through these Jebusites. That's not the promise of God. You might think you are not a leader like Joshua, but you are a leader. You're a husband. You're a parent. You're a wife. You're a worker. You're a neighbor. You don't have to be like Joshua to be in charge of a tribe or an army to be a leader. You don't have to be Pastor Roy, the senior pastor of our church, to be a leader. We are empowered to be witnesses, to share the gospel and lead people to Christ. And to do this, we must be submitted to the Spirit of God. Paul in Romans 8, verse 12 says this, so then, brothers and sisters, we are not obligated to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Because if you live according to the flesh, you are going to die. He's like, you, your brain, your mind, your body has a way it wants to do things. It wants to eat McDonald's and watch football and play video games and eat Cheetos and ice cream all day. That sounds like a great day. Come on, you don't have to admit it. I know it's good, right? It's awesome. That's what he's saying. You're not obligated to live according to that. I know that's what you want to do. That's what your flesh wants to do, what your mind wants to do. You don't have to live according to that. Because if you do live according to that, you will die. God has designed a perfect way to run and be a part of his universe. And if you don't do it the way he said, it's probably not going to work out well for you. But then he says, but if by the Spirit, and I'll say if by the Spirit's help, you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. So if by the Spirit's help, you start saying, I'm going to start saying no to these things that I need to separate from in my life. Some of them are sins. Some of them are distractions. Some of them are just fleshly desires. I'm going to start saying no to these things, and I start to put them to death. I'm not taking a hammer through my video game console or my Netflix password or whatever, right? I'm not putting a hammer through it. I'm saying I'm going to start making that less of a priority and making God more of a priority. If you do that, you will live. If you follow the ways of the flesh, you will die. If you kill the things of the flesh, you will live. And then he says in verse 14, for all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. Parentheses and daughters. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. Instead, you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, we are also heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may be glorified with him. That's a fancy way of him saying, you can do the things your flesh wants to do and die, or you could separate from those things and you could kill those things and live. Something's going to die. Either the things you need to kill are going to die and you're going to live, or they're going to kill you and you're going to die. But all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. We like to say this is a family. This is a church family. I really like that. Pastor Roy's been using that. And I'm the son of God. But it says here, all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. Israel had heard the word of God. God was with their leader, leading them in a way they had not passed before. God was with them. He was going before them. The spiritual leaders, the priests, they did what leaders are supposed to do. They led by example. They stepped first into the Jordan River, which went against everything they knew to be safe. The Jordan was flooding her banks. Apart from a miracle, they may be swept away or pulled under the mighty, muddy Jordan. But they obeyed God's command and responded in faith. God's promises will come to pass to those who step out in faith under the power of God's presence. And so then we read what happens. They step out in Joshua 3, 14. And let's read 15, Joshua 3, 15. Now the Jordan overflows its banks throughout the harvest season. But as soon as the priests carrying the ark reached the Jordan, their feet touched the water at its edge, and the water flowing downstream stood still, rising up in a mass that extended as far as Adam, a city next to Zarethan. The water flowing downstream into the Sea of Arabah, the Dead Sea, was completely cut off, and the people crossed opposite Jericho. They stepped in faith. Recap, they prepared this time. The Israelite people prepared this time. They prepared by consecrating themselves, by setting themselves apart from the things of this world, from them, and setting themselves apart to God, right? They heard God's word, and they acted on it. And they were led by the Holy Spirit. And what's interesting in this part of the story is that this isn't the first time we've seen waters part for these people, right? How did it happen the first time? Big giant sea, the big man leader Moses stands on the edge with his rod and he's holding it up in the air and the water separates and they walk through. Things were different this time. This was not just one man raising a rod. This would take many men and women acting in faith by stepping into the water. We don't hear the story of Moses or Joshua standing there. We hear the story where he says, leaders, step out in faith. People, step out in faith. And the leaders and the people that were at the front, acting in faith, stepped into what some might have considered an unsafe or unwise environment. That's where you're at too. You're on your side of the Jordan. You want to take that next step in your life, in your ministry, in your family, in your walk with God. And God's like, you got to consecrate yourself. You got to start setting yourself apart. You're never going to take a step towards me as long as you're holding on to the things of the world. You need to consecrate yourself. Separate from the world. Separate unto me. Start doing the things, focusing on me. Start reading my word and acting on what it says to do. And follow then the leading of the Holy Spirit. When the leaders and the people acted in faith, God did the work. God was showing his people a principle. It's not just about Pastor Roy standing up here and saying something anymore. And there being this thing that happens and we all just kind of walk through the river lazily. He was saying, you got to do something. He's trying to talk to all of us this morning saying, you want to cross your Jordan? You want to take that next step? You have to act in faith. You have to consecrate yourself. When we as people act in faith, God does the work and he fulfills his promises. And so let's recap this. You've heard me recap it like five times because, where's Dan? Because repetition is the basis of learning. And through repetition, we memorize. And memorize, no, okay, we'll keep going. No, that's an old joke. No one remembers. Jordan probably knows what I'm talking about. Thanks, Jordan. Let's recap. The Bible is a book with great stories that's there for us to learn from. And it's not there for us to learn what waters do. It's there for us to learn how that impacts our lives. And just as the people of Israel were saying, this is our chance to get into the promised land. We're not going to squander it like we did last time. This time, we're going to prepare. We're going to consecrate ourselves. We're going to set apart from the world and set apart to God. We're going to take what God's word says and we're going to act on it by faith. And we're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. And that's what we can do this morning. That's what we could do this week. We could start saying, God, I'm going to start consecrating my life. I'm going to start stepping away from some things. I'm going to start making you a little bit more important in my life, maybe a lot more. Maybe this is just a step. And God's like, I want you to take this next step, Peter. I want you to grow in, as a man, as a husband, as a father, as a somebody that's trying to grow in me and learn in me and be a part of my kingdom. I want you to do that. But you can't take that step with this other stuff hanging on to you. That's why Paul says, I run with patience the race, but he says, I had to set some things aside. I had to leave aside the weight and the sin which so easily besets us. I got to leave that stuff aside. It can't come with me as I get closer to God. I can't hold on to the things of this world, the things of my flesh. I can, but I'm not taking steps and I'm not going to grow. That's just a principle. That's what we learn. That's a principle in God's word. Let's all stand this morning. I said this Wednesday night, I really believe it. God is speaking to each of us. The question is, are we taking time to listen? And I would even take it a step further if I'm being bold. I think we know in our heart, I think God has spoken to every person in this building and that's watching online. I think we know exactly what that next step is. Maybe you're like, I don't really know. I think in an honest moment, when you sit down and think about it, you'll be like, oh, yeah, that is it. I've known that. That's happened to me 20 times. I believe God has spoken to us, each individual saying, here's the next step, Brother Larry. Here's the next step, Brother Hawk. And here's the things that you got to do to get there. And so I don't know what that is for you. But this morning as we pray, as you go through your week, the challenge is, the question for yourself is, what is God speaking to you? What is your promised land? What is the next step in your journey as the Israelite nation, in your personal life that God's saying, here's the next step, it's the river. And the next step is the Jebusites and the Amorites and the Hittites and all that. But I've got a promised land for you, Brother David. I've got a promised land for you, Brother Kelvin. I got this place I have for you. And you just keep taking steps with me and leaving stuff on the other side of the river every time you do. What is that? Let's focus on that in prayer. This week is a perfect opportunity, because Pastor Roy is going to be talking about fasting. And fasting is setting apart from the things of this world so that we can focus on God. And so let's take this week, and whatever Pastor Roy is going to lead us through, let's do that. And let's try to hear from God for our lives. Let's pray this morning. Let's pray that God would speak to us. Maybe make it a little more obvious. Maybe remind us of the thing he told us months ago or weeks ago or years ago. Hey, this is still that step you haven't taken. This is still that step you haven't taken, Casey. You got to take that step. You've been waiting on it. Let's pray that God would show us this. Thank you, God, for your spirit, God. Thank you for your word, God, that we can learn from. Thank you for the stories and the people, God, but how it impacts my life, God. Thank you for speaking to us through your word. God, I pray, Lord, this morning as we close out, as we move on this week, as we prepare for a fast, God, as we spend time separating from this world and focusing on you, God, show us the things you want us to do. Show us the ways we need to consecrate from this world and to you, God. Show us how we can be led of your Spirit, what the things are we need to do to act in faith, to take that next step, to go to the promised land with you, God. I pray, Lord, that there would be a clarity of mind in every person in this building and watching online, that there would be an understanding, God, that your Spirit would speak to them and that there would be power that would go through anything that is a barrier to them right now, God. Any worry or doubt or depression, anything of this week, of this month that is stressing them out, any river that they see that's overflowing, God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to them and they would hear your word above their situation. God, I pray that you would bless us, God, as we go through this, God, as we consecrate ourselves to you this week. Bless us, bless this church. Let us make a difference and see a promise in this community. In Jesus' name. Don't forget to pick up your kids and find somebody you haven't seen, shake their hand. God bless you.